So the gag last year was us being incapable of saying Super Junior Tag League. Do you remember? It was always best of the Super Junior Tag League, and we would just fuck it up every opportunity. It wasn't even a bit. We were just awful at saying it.
Yeah. Sounds about par for the course for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's your gimmick. It was just maybe that's the origin story of your gimmick.
It's not really my gimmick, though. I just have I can't speak. I think my brain my brain works faster than my mouth, so I can't put together coherent sentences half the time.
We're in the middle of Super Junior Tag League. There was a huge show in Vegas. Okada's heading over to Dynamite on his time off and putting Bryan Danielson on the injury list yet again.
We're never getting Bryan Danielson Okada 2. Ever.
We're never getting Bryan Danielson in Japan full stop, man. If the man is incapable of taking a Rainmaker, I don't think he's up to scratch to be competing in a G1. I hate to say it. I love the guy, but, you know, it's time to be realistic.
He's very injury prone, as the kids would say.
He's extremely injury prone, worryingly so. Apparently, it wasn't Rainmaker. Like, apparently, people think it might not even mean that match. It might have been a match at Collision or something where Danielson got the injury. Apparently, he enters the Okada match already looking a bit brittle, like he's got something under his eye or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. But anyway, like Zack Sabre Jr. warned us when he was building up to the Wrestle Dream match. He was saying, Zack, we need to wrap Bryan Danielson in bubble wrap. We need to put him in a Zorb ball because a strong gust of wind could disintegrate him at this moment. And Zack Sabre Jr. was right.
Did you say a Zorb ball?
Yeah.
What's Is a Zorb not... ball?
I thought it was an American thing.
I don't know what a fucking Zorb ball is. I will tell you this, and I fucking dropped the ball, Kieran. Last week, I ate fucking bread. So all you motherfuckers who were like, you never eat bread on the Bread Club. Now you got to wait. They have this supermarket over by me, brand new. Mm-hmm. They got this Nando's sauce.
Oh, Nando's sauce. Yeah.
And I said, oh, fucking Nando's. They were closed. You son of a bitch. So next time I get some Nando's sauce, then I put it on the bread. What?
Yeah, I don't think that's not what you do in Nando's sauce. You don't just put it on bread.
I can't put it off.
Garlic bread, mate. It's not that type of sauce. You can have it with garlic bread, maybe. It's for, like, chicken, mostly.
Okay, what if I have a chicken sandwich on bread? Can I put the sauce on it?
Yeah, for sure. I've got Nando's in the cupboard in the kitchen as well. We had a Nando's, home-cooked Nando's meal on Saturday, I think.
I fucking love the cupboard. I love you. Fantastic.
What? What would you call a cupboard?
I call it a cabinet. In the cabinet.
Oh man,
you have the nice little like accent. It just sounds so cute, the cupboard.
Well, I didn't join this episode of Bread Club expecting to be called cute. Like, here we are.
Oh yeah, since ELP and Taji Ishimori are no more, we are the new world's greatest cutest tag team. Bread Club / world's cutest tag team. How do you like them apples, people?
We can get that going. Hashtag WCCT. World's Cutest Tag Team. No, WCTT.
Oh, you can get like mashed potatoes and corn on the cob at Nando's?
Yeah, there are some Nando's in America. I saw one in Chicago.
Chicago?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it was Chicago. I saw a Nando's in Chicago. And I was tempted because I was like, I wonder how different it is to the UK Nando's. But I was like, also, I didn't come all the way to Chicago to have a fucking Nando's.
All right, I guess that's fair. Yeah, they got a lot in Maryland, Texas, Virginia, Illinois, and the District of Columbia.
It's good. It's good shit.
Is it good?
It's. I think it's overrated, but it's good. Like, people hype it up too much. Because, like, you know of Nando's. You shouldn't really know of Nando's. Yeah, but it's not in your state, and most Americans probably don't know of Nando's. But then when people come over, it's like, oh, you got to try Nando's, you got to try Nando's. Like, when I went out, when the guys were over for Royal Quest, I was going to potentially head out for a meal with someone, and then they was like, oh, we're going out for a boys' dinner instead. And I was like, no, that's okay, I'm going out with someone else now anyway. So I kind of worked out.
Oh.
And where did all the boys go on their boys' night out? They went to Nando's.
Nando's.
Which meant we couldn't go to Nando's with the person I was with because that person didn't want to go to the same place.
Keith, right?
Exactly. Keith, so it means it means we couldn't have Nando's, which was a disappointing moment.
Let me ask you this. Is Nando's as good as the Super Junior Tag League so far?
I would say Nando's is a perfect metaphor for Super Junior Tag League. It's been as expected, nothing more, nothing less, nothing outstanding. I'm not going for a Michelin star meal, but I also know I'm not going to leave disappointed. I'm going to have a somewhat decent meal in my stomach filling me up, but it's not going to be overly memorable, I don't think.
I'm with you. I'm with
that's
you.
A it's... fucking great segue. I'm giving that was fantastic.
Thank you. I'm semi-professional. If you've listened to any of the Shining Wizards Wrestling podcast, you would know.
Full professional.
I save all my professionalism for the Bread Club. Yeah.
It's hang on. Before, I want to get this in early, actually. Before we go into Super Junior Tag League, speaking of the Wizards, can you please talk about the giveaway you're doing on Twitter at the moment at the top of the show so that we don't, if they realize this show is not for them, listen to this because you might win $100.
That's great. You know what? This is why we make such a great team, because we look out for each other. The Shining Wizards and Kate at Miss Kate Fabe of Fightful. We teamed up. We each have YouTube channels. If you just subscribe to both channels and then take a screen cap and tweet it at us and use the hashtag Kate and the Wizards, you are entered into a raffle to win a $100 gift card. You could do a WWE shop gift card. You could do an AEW shop gift card. You could do a Pro Wrestling Tees gift card. I could send you a Visa gift card, and you could spend it however you want. It doesn't matter. There's a chance to win a $100 gift card. And all you got to do is subscribe to two YouTube channels and then show us that you do it and tweet it at us. It'll take you literally seconds. We do it until November 5th at midnight, and then I will do a drawing on the Wizards on the 6th of November. And then we'll reach out to that winner and get them their $100 gift card. It's the easiest thing in the world.
You will never get an easier opportunity to win $100 to whatever the hell you want. Go to at Wizards Podcast on Twitter as well, in case that was too much information. It's all there. It's all nice and neat. It's all easy to follow. Check it out at Wizards Podcast on Twitter. Go into that competition. Get a chance to win $100 gift card. And also, you're subscribed to the Wizards and you're subscribed to Kate.
And it can't be that. Everyone wins. Yeah, wrestling content weekly. Kate's doing videos. She did a great thing with Bad Dude Tito where they previewed New Japan Fighting Spirit to find out who the baddest dudes and dudettes are in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Great stuff. It's almost like when you buy a ticket to a Jon Moxley match, there's a chance you're going to get blood on you if you're in the first row. Wrestling fans are weird, so they would relish that. Relish the opportunity to get a $100 gift card to buy a front row ticket to possibly get Jon Moxley's blood on you. How do you like that?
Saying that, there's a person who reached out to me a while back asking how do I get tickets for shows in Japan and stuff, and I always help everyone out. If anyone's ever got any question, please hit me up on Twitter, whatever. This person reached out to me on Instagram, and I helped them out, and it turns out they go to local shows and stuff, so we've met up and said hello at a few Repro shows and stuff. Moxley was in the UK this past weekend.
She
went to the show. She got Mox's book signed by him. Oh. And there was this little red mark next to the signature. And I was like, that's not Moxley's blood, is it? And she was like, oh, yes, it is. She got his signature in pen and then a little bit of his blood, just the sprinkle on the top of the signature in the Mox's autobiography.
What is he have, like a little vial of blood he just drops in people's books?
Oh, no. It was obviously bleeding. I'm assuming she got it signed post-match, post-show. Maybe he went to the merch. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
But so, we had to get that plug in at the top of the show before we talk about Super Junior Tag League.
I love it. You know what? You're such a gentleman and a scholar. Such a UK hospitality major over there. I'd love it. Fantastic.
I have an MVQ levels 2 and 3 in customer service and hospitality. National Vocational Qualification, I think it stands for. NVQ. It's like a study thing. Like, you take a course and you can get a qualification. But I've got that in levels 2 and level 3. It's like I've done the base level and then I've done a more advanced level in customer service and hospitality. Wow, so that's where I get my esteemed manners from.
Apparently. Look at this. We're still year and change into this and we're still learning about each other.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I remember that is because I had, like, for the first time since I got them, like, 12 years ago, a job actually wanted proof of the qualification, so I had to dig through a lot of fucking paperwork to scan it to my new job to prove that I wasn't chatting shit.
Did you have to dig through a lot of paperwork to find out how our Super Junior Tag League picks are coming along?
I didn't. I simply went to njpw1972.com.
Wait, our picks are on NJPW. Oh, our picks.
Sorry, I don't remember who I picked. I think I picked Kosei Fujita and Robbie Eagles slash El Desperado. I think that was my final.
I like El Desperado, and I love the "we're friends, but we're not friends." It makes me chuckle every single time.
The cat and dog energy is fantastic. They have been a highlight.
I love that.
They've been the highlight of the tournament. Actually, they've not been a highlight. They've been the single highlight of the tournament. The bond getting like coming closer and closer every match. You know, the big moment being against the War Dogs, this fantastic match. Clark Connors rips off El Desperado's mask. Master Watto coming in to make the save. El Desperado giving a thumbs up with his hair covering his face, picking up the win. And then post-match, a mutual handshake, not a forced handshake, a show of respect between the two men, a huge moment. They have got to be, they're absolutely making the finals, man. New Japan have struck gold with this combination.
Yeah, I don't see why you wouldn't. Look, they're super entertaining, and there's a lot that they're setting up with this. They have a win over Connors and Maloney, as does Kushida and Knight. So this is, you know, that last day of the Super Junior Tag League is going to be super important. But I mean, these two have done everything. Let me take that back. El Desperado's done everything you possibly could in the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Division. You know, former tag champion and junior champion. Watto, former junior. I will never not think he shouldn't have walked out as the junior champion after he went best of the Super Juniors.
Yeah.
But this is fun and it's different. Because you're so used to seeing Despy with, you know, Doki or Kanemura, and now of course he's, you know, he doesn't have a home. So this is kind of fun. I'm kind of digging this.
Imagine if when we started this show, or when Master Watto first returned, imagine if someone told you, give it a few years, Master Watto's going to win Best of Super Juniors, and you're going to be a fan of it.
Yeah.
And he's going to be in contention for winning Super Junior Tag League that same year. And you're going to be rooting for him even more. That's that crazy. We should talk about Master Watto's glow up, man. The way this guy went from his gimmick literally just being blue. His gimmick was just blue. Blue hair, blue. Didn't have anything about him. And now he's so great in the ring. He's got this weird, like, oddball charisma type thing going on. He's got a great look with, like, the silver hair now. The blue pants are a bit darkened and stuff. He's it's incredible the leaps and bounds this man has come on, and how he is now a highlight of the junior division from being a laughing stock before.
Yeah, and I think you have to give credit to the booking committee and mm-hmm. Master Watto for not, you know, look, I only know how the IWC is in the States, right? And I know, I'm sure they're a little less aggressive over there in Japan, but I'm sure he was here in the hate, man. Like, he had the vignettes. He came in, and then, like you said, he's just he's blue. What the fuck's a Master Watto? I swear to God, I think it's a character from Star Wars.
You might be right.
It's Master Watto. It's
probably not far off.
Master Watto, Star Wars.
With a double T or something like that. It certainly sounds like Watto would be something in Star Wars.
Watto, Watto.
Yeah, that rings a bell to me.
He was Anakin's master.
I mean, my Star Wars knowledge doesn't go that deep.
I have the Google right here, dude. That's all I got. I don't know fuck all about Star Wars.
But no, El Desperado have been fantastic. Absolute highlight for me.
Are you surprised that they lost to Yo and Musashi?
I think the thing is, though, is they're leaps and bounds. They're running the table at the moment. They've got 10 points in second place. Oh, we should say we're recording this on Monday, October 30th. By the time you're listening to this, there would have been at least one more show on October 31st. There's a show happening on Tuesday, so, you know, our comments and stuff might be out of whack. But at the time of recording, El Desperado have 10 points. War Dogs have 8, and Casa Torture somehow have 8 as well. Jesus fucking Christ, save us. So, you know, if they needed a loss somewhere along that reign, I don't mind it being Yo Musashi, because they've done fuck all else otherwise. They've got 2 points. They've won 2 matches.
I mean, they beat TJP and Akira too. That's a huge, win for them.
You know, do you have the league table up in front of you from the New Japan website? Does a black circle or a white circle mean a win?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on Wikipedia.
Oh, okay. All right.
Wikipedia, but Wikipedia has the It has the table too.
Names. Yeah, yeah, and it has the actual names of who won and the times and stuff. I should have done that. No, the white circles mean a win. I figured it out now. I think I'm fine with it. The Yo Musashi team's kind of has been fine. I think that's the thing for Super Junior Tag. There's not been any one match that I would go back on and say this is the one you need to watch. There's not been anything bad by any means. It's all been good, and in the nicest way, good is good, but good isn't great. And I couldn't tell you, sit here and say to the watchers, go back and check out this match and this match, or this match was fantastic. It's kind of all just meshed together. There's been like, I like TJP. I think he deserves to be highlighted for the fact he's selling his neck this entire fucking tournament. Even the little things in the early moments in a match, if someone goes for a headlock, he starts selling it. It's everything that happens to his neck. It's, you know, if he's seriously hurt, bravo to him. And if he's just remembering to sell like that, then bravo again, because it's every little thing around the neck and shoulders area.
Yeah, no, it's, but we're getting, what do we got? 2-3 nights left. There's not a lot. November 4th is next week. So there's not a lot by the time this comes out. Doki and Taka are out. Yo and Musashi. I mean, maybe mathematically they're still in with 4 points, but.
Yeah, at the time of recording, there's 3 nights left. There's Tuesday, 31st of October, Wednesday, 1st of November, and Thursday, 2nd of November. Holy shit, they got 4 shows back to back to back. Was there a show Sunday? There wasn't, was there?
There was a show.
There wasn't a show Sunday. It was Saturday. So they've got Monday. They're wrestling Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and they're all fucking tournament matches. They get Friday off, and then boom, power struggle.
Did they wrestle last night?
They wrestled Saturday. Because there was like a double header. Like it was like New Japan. You had Japanese time Saturday evening. There was Super Juniors. And then Saturday evening American time, there was Las Vegas Fighting Spirit Unleashed.
Okay. Desperado and Wado beat Knight and Kushida Saturday?
Today. That was today.
Today.
Yes.
You're fucking much better at the time.
I get to watch it live, though, which makes it a bit easier for me.
You son of a bitch.
The events always take place the same day for me. Not, you know. Whereas for you, an event might start at 11 a.m., midnight, or something like 1 a.m., and it's hard to remember that's the previous day or whatever.
Yeah, see, we went through this last year with time. We did time change. We're an hour late, later than usual. I have my hair all wet. I look like a normal person. Now I look all disheveled.
You don't look disheveled. Do you know who doesn't look disheveled? Do you know who looks like a fucking hunky specimen, Matt?
I feel like you're going to say Fujita.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even plan that. Matt just knows me that well now. What a fucking stud, man.
You weren't going to say the DKC. He looks like he needs some fucking Nandos. Jesus Christ, bro.
Nan DKC? It doesn't work. I tried. I'm sorry. Fujita, man, he is, aside from El Desperado, he's my favorite thing going, man. Those left-handed chops are vicious, man. I've never seen anyone hit a chop like he does. They're fantastic.
He's looked really good. And every time, I don't mean this in a, my memory is good, right? But every time Robbie Eagles, he's not there every week or every month or whatever, tour. When he comes back, I'm like, man, I like fucking Robbie Eagles and I miss him a lot. And this pairing with Fujita, it just everything about it works for me.
I had that exact same thought watching the show today. I can't remember who they wrestled off the top of my head.
I'll tell you. I got it right here because I came prepared.
I know they won with the Ron Miller special. It was
Musashi and Yo.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I thought the exact same thing. Just like the little things Robbie does. Like he at the start of the match, he always does that really cool arm drag variant where he like hops off the middle rope and spins around a person and then drags them. And it's something very Robbie Eagles unique. But I thought I had that exact same feeling. I feel like we don't appreciate Robbie Eagles enough. He's so fucking good.
Yeah, I just don't think he's on one tour and then off for like the next three. And he's kind of like an afterthought. And then like he shows up in this and you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot Robbie Eagles is in fucking TMDK. And they're going to put him with Fujita. And all right, I guess. Like, we'll see how it works out. And then, you know, fucking Desperado, Wado, and Eagles and Fujita tear it down. Like, great stuff with Catch 2-2. Like, they found themselves another junior tag team, if that's what you want to do right now with
Oh, I'd love Fujita. I'd love to see them guys hold the tag belts together. Yeah, I think just Fujita, to me, he's like 21. He disappeared for 6 weeks, something like that, silly like that, to Australia. He comes back looking like $1 million with his hair done, with his earring and all that stuff. And the finisher was really cool, the like suplex into a cutter that he's named today. He named Abandon Hope, I think, on Twitter. He called it, which is a really cool name. And I just feel like he can easily be the next ace. He can be the next Hiromu. He can be the next Liger. He can be the guy to run the division. But El Desperado had some interesting comments post-match today. He was saying how he thinks Master Watto is the next ace. He thinks the ace belongs to Hontai. The ace should be in Hontai before they go on excursion. They should be in Hontai when they come back. And that he thinks Master Watto is there. And the reason he's been teamed with Desperado, the reason they're being put in all these main events, is because the office sees that Master Watto can be the next junior ace. El Desperado, give him compliments to Master Watto like that.
It's... Man, I can't believe I'm gonna say this. Like there's a world where he's not wrong, right? Like
we've watched.
Look, if you've been listening to the Bread Club since me and Kieran got together a year and change ago, like I was not on Team Master Watto, and that has changed. You know, we talked about it earlier. Like he has really done a 180. He is great in the ring. Everything he's doing, his character work, like. I wouldn't be mad if Hiromu lost to Watto and the torch gets passed to him and like he brings in the next, you know, it's Master Watto and Yo and Sho and Fujita and Clark Connors and Dan Maloney. Like, I wouldn't be mad about that.
The junior division might be the best book division in New Japan this year. Like, Hiromu, I've not had the, oh, Hiromu wins, LOL, like, Super Cena bullshit. I've not felt that this bad this year with Hiromu because he's been doing so much.
He's been everywhere.
Exactly. He's been literally fucking everywhere, showing up in all these different promotions. He had the dream match with Fujita Jr. Hayato at long last. He's been showing up in, he's the DDT Iron Metal Heavyweight Champion, which is providing some great comic relief. He's like defended the title against different, like varied opponents in different companies, doing all this shit. So when Hiromu is having a title match, it's not like, oh, here we go again. It's like, it's something worth investing in.
Right.
I forgot the point I was trying to make.
Watto being the guy.
Yeah. No, I don't know what I was going on about, to be honest.
Great. I love it. I'm here for it.
That's a good point about Hiromu. I've completely lost my train of thought.
I also like, if you took like, if Sho and Kanemaru weren't in fucking House of Torture, like I wouldn't want to throw my TV on my front yard every match.
Oh yeah, sorry, the junior division, I think it's probably been New Japan's best booked thing this year.
Yes.
Say maybe Zack Sabre Jr.'s reign as NJPW World TV champion, but as a division, the junior division has just been awesome. Between Catch 2-2 kicking off the year, retaining against Leo Rush and Yo at Wrestle Kingdom, the Catch 2-2 reign being amazing, dropping it to Jet Setters or War Dogs? Yeah,
they went dropping to Jet Setters, and then it went back.
Jet Setters, Catch 2-2, and then the turn from Dan Maloney, and then, you know, the War Dogs having great reign as the champion. They're defending it in the UK, having that quick defense Independence Day. And then, yeah, the junior title scene has been great as well, with Hiromu going everywhere. Best of the Super Juniors, one fantastic. Watto versus Titan is a final no one saw coming, but it's one of the best matches to take place in a New Japan ring this year. And now Super Junior Tag League, whilst it's not, like I say, blowing me away, there's nothing like disgusting about it. There's nothing like upsetting or off-putting. And it's only going to pick up steam as we get towards the end.
Yeah, we don't have a lot left. So you're gonna get, you know, there's going to be a couple we still have Kushida, Yo, Musashi, that, you know, and look, Yo, Musashi, they've been upsetting the big dogs. They upset El Despi and Watto. They upset TJP and Akira. And I think I look at it as an upset, man.
Yeah, 100%.
So that's still on the table. Eagles Fujita against Kushida Knight is still a match that has to happen. Kushida Knight against TJP and Akira is still a match that needs to happen. So, like, there's a lot that, you know, like Bushi and Titan beating Akira and TJP this morning, like really fucks with Catch 2-2's opportunity to get to that final.
I will say as well, like watching the show today, Kevin Knight's hot tag fucking might have like his, I don't know if he does this every match when he gets a hot tag, but his hot tag today was like the best hot tag I've seen all year. the dude spent more time in the air than he did on his fucking feet. Like the stuff he was doing, I love like the assisted, like he'll go for a springboard off the middle rope and or the top rope, whatever, and Kushida will be there and he'll ping the rope as well. And it actually seems like it works and like it makes fucking Kevin Knight fly further because he always seems to almost overshoot his opponent. But yeah, no, I think Kevin Knight, I've sung his praises before again, but the future of this junior division with a Master Watto, with a Kevin Knight, with a Fujita, they're all like mid-20s. Like Fujita's 21. I think Watto's maybe like 26, 27. I know Kevin Knight's on the young side as well. Driller Maloney now coming into his own, and Clark Connors, they're young guys as well. This junior division is stacked for the future, man.
Akira?
Yes, Akira's like 22. Like, what the hell, man? They can make generational rivalries here.
No, absolutely. Look, I think like this Super Junior tournament runs its course when we get through Wrestle Kingdom. Like, I would be mad if Kevin Knight was ready to go on his own. You know, give me Kevin Knight, Taji Ishimori. Give me Kevin Knight, Al Despy. Give me Kevin Knight, Hiromu. Like, let's do it, man. You know, you look, Leo Rush is going to factor in somewhere in this division too, like, because he got sick.
Yep.
You know, like, so he's still in the mix. They have some weird working relationship with Impact. So, like, Speedball Mike Bailey is still an option. Like, that's awesome. Ace Austin and Chris Bay are still a tag team. Like, that's not completely out of the question as we go into 2024. They're the Impact Tag Team Champions. So the juniors are super duper strong in New Japan right now.
Yeah, easily the case could be made that they're stronger than the heavyweights, quite frankly. I with everything going on with, you got your Tangaloas having single matches and your Chase Owens and Finley's not really doing much, and Tamatonga, thank God we've freed from the Never Openweight Championship. I'd say the junior division deserves a bigger spotlight for sure. It's been the rock for New Japan this year. I have a confession though, Matt. Fighting Spirit Unleashed in Las Vegas, I've only watched one match from this card. I've not had the time to watch anything else.
What did you watch?
I watched Julia versus Haiyan. I wanted to see the girl Haiyan. I knew the result, but I wanted to see the girl Haiyan do her stuff. I wanted to see her in there with Julia. But I'm assuming you watched this entire show? Did you cherry pick?
I did. People are going to fucking judge me, and I don't give a shit. I have been, so there's a lot of like the mainstream wrestling is just like the WWE and AEW, like just it's not hitting for me, right? But like the NWA and MLW, I stop it, Nelly. God dang it. This is my headphones. You're out now. Now you're out because you're stopping.
Free strikes.
She was fine, and then I started moving, and she started playing with the headphone cord. The last thing I need is her getting electrocuted. She will chew through it because you don't look like that by not knowing how to eat things. So anyway, long story. So like I was out on the NWA when Tyrus was the champion, but I got back in. It's 45 minutes. It's on YouTube. It's an easy watch for me. Like if I get home before my wife or. Quick 45 minutes. MLW is 45 minutes to an hour. It's on YouTube. I can watch it, you know, whatever. So they're easy watches and they're highly entertaining for me. I think they tell good stories. So I was off Saturday night and I was like super fucking excited. And I ordered the NWA pay-per-view and I ordered the Fighting Spirit Unleashed. Didn't watch Collision. Didn't watch MJF and Kenny Omega.
Fuck yeah. Watch what you want to watch, man.
So on the big TV, because the NWA started at 8, I watched the NWA pay-per-view. And then at 10 o'clock, I watched Fighting Spirit on my laptop. And I was tweeting both shows.
Screening.
But I'm not going to... I did fall asleep before the Julia defense Saturday night. I did go back and watch and finish the show. I'm going to take me some time to get
this. This is what I wanted to ask. What did you think of August Stewart? This was his debut. I was just watching some of it on New Japan World because it was up there with Japanese commentary. So I know he put up a clip of the end of the four-way match with Kojima getting the win. That's the only clip I've seen of his voice.
It's gonna take some time.
You're not nothing bad to say, nothing good to say. It's just because it's so different.
Look, because it's. with all due respect, right, with this, with New Japan Fighting Spirit right now, like, you're not, this is Las Vegas. This isn't, you know, Japan. This isn't Kurikon. This isn't, you know, wherever, you know, you're in Japan. So you're getting like Fred Rosser, and you're getting like all the Stephanie Vecchia and Mystico and Atlantis Jr. and Hyann and Alex Zane and Lance Archer. Like, you're not, I don't know. There's just, this is like a New Japan, a Jace show. Like, yeah. This is, yeah, like, look, man, like, you, there's like three matches on here that were of any importance. And I'm not, it's not to slight the talent. It's not to slight the show. I ordered it. They got my fucking money. Right. And I love New Japan, but really, like, at the end of the day, this is like, it's a throwaway show. I hate to say it.
I think the thing is, though, going into it, I was like, when we spoke about last episode, they stacked this card. You've got, what was there, three title matches on there. You've got Julia coming over to wrestle in the States for the first time ever, perhaps. I don't know. Was it three
she
title
matches? She was in Philadelphia, wasn't she?
Was she? I don't know.
I don't
know. But then, like, you know, you've got Sanada and Yuta Uemura, Naito and Hiromu, like, you know, the champ, the most, and two of the most popular wrestlers. They stack this show, and they're stacking Lone Star as well.
I guess.
I do get the vibe. It's kind of a zero sum game, though. Like, I hate talking ticket sales and all that bollocks. Like, I just want to watch. If the product is good, I'll watch it. Like, I don't give a shit about ratings and tickets. It's the most nauseating topic for me, but I saw something about ticket sales for this show not being great. But also, I know New Japan aren't cheap in what they charge, right, especially for the States. I've looked at front rows before and stuff. It is that they're aiming towards the whales, for lack of a better word, those ones that are flush with cash that were willing to drop it because they're big fans, that the marks like myself who paid a fortune to sit at front row for Royal Quest 3, and that's how they made money. The tickets for Wrestle Kingdom this coming January 4th, front row, which you can only ever get via the fan club and stuff, those tickets have gone through the roof compared to last year, where I saw people complaining about, but they sold out instantly.
Of course.
So, of course.
Maybe throwaway card is, I just, there's a lot here where it's kind of, it just feels like they're matches for matches' sake. Like, Tom, I would love to have, I want Tom Lawler in Japan more. Like, why isn't Filthy Tom Lawler in Japan more? I get it. It was like Mystico, somebody, it was somebody's fucking 40th anniversary. I don't know. Stupid Tanahashi was on my screen and I didn't care about him or his dumb hair, but it was Atlantis's 40th anniversary. So this is what this match was for. And it's great to pay homage to him, but it's like, it's just a reason to get Hiroshi Tanahashi in Vegas and on the show. Hear me out on this one. I can't, from now until Wrestle Kingdom, I can't sit through Sonata tag matches. It fucking ruined Okada Jay White for me last year, and they didn't do him any favors putting him on the same card with Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay. I don't want to see these guys touch until Wrestle Kingdom, because this is not, no offense, but, like, if you're not a New Japan fan, Naito, Sanada as your main event, there's people who are going to be like, eh. It's not Kenny Omega. 100%. It's not Jay White. It's not Okada. It's not Tanahashi. So, like, I get why they do it, but I don't want to see Sanada and Naito. You move my microphone. I don't want to see them touch until Wrestle Kingdom.
Sanada and Naito has zero sex appeal as the main event of Wrestle Kingdom. It has no sex appeal. You get away with it on a Dominion or whatever, but for Wrestle Kingdom, yeah, it doesn't have the star power, the drawing power. On paper, everything is there. The story is so fucking good, but it's just Sanada Naito doesn't work necessarily. And I think they've had two matches before in the G1 and New Japan Cup, and neither of them were particularly very good. Especially, I remember the G1 one was very messy towards the end. But yeah, the truth and the unfortunate case is this is New Japan and this is how it works. And this is what we're going to get every show. It's going to be some variation of Sanada standing across the ring from Naito, whether it's in a 2-man, 3-man or 4-man tag match.
Like, why can't like Naito just go through just 5 guys?
That's an interesting idea.
Like,
yeah,
instead of like having these tag matches, Sonata's like, I'm not doing tag matches. Like, I'm the champion. I call the shots. You got to go through the other four members of my faction in time for Wrestle Kingdom. As the story being like, he's going to use them to soften him up. And Naito's like, you fucking left me high and dry. And LIJ, like, I'm going to avenge this.
I did like at Royal Quest the post-match with Bushi spitting the mist in Sonata's face, because that laid the seeds for what type of Naito are we going to get in this build. Is it going to be... Because Naito is always going to be the popular babyface, but he's the popular babyface that can do dastardly things.
Right.
He can be a little shit, and that includes letting Bushi mist him in the face. So, you know, a power struggle, I'm assuming they're standing opposite the ring against each other. Let me have a quick look. Yes, Yuya Uemura and Sanada versus Yota Tsuji and Tetsuya Naito. Like, that's a crazy match. You've got the main event of Wrestle Kingdom, the future of the company as well. Like, it's a huge, huge match. I think post-match will be the exciting stuff when it comes to Sanada and Naito matches. I don't think you need to watch the tag matches. It's going to be the post-match interactions, see who gets the one-up, because this is the type of stuff where Sanada will hit deadfall once the bell has been rung, or Naito will hit Destino once the bell is being rung. That's going to be the little storytelling points.
Yeah, I just, you know, look, it was...
Talk me through it, man. Fighting Spirit Unleashed. Let's go through the cards, the matches that had importance. Number one contendership for the four-way, for the Strong Openweight Championship, Kojima pinning Fred Rosser and defeating Jeff Cobb and Alex Coughlin in the process as well to become number one contender.
I was rooting for Alex Coughlin here. I'm not mad about Kojima. I understand why Fred Rosser is in there. I think I said this last time we did the show. He does nothing for me. Nothing. Yeah. I'm not excited. And he's a little bitch because he blocked me on Twitter because I was pro Juice Robinson beating the dog shit out of him early in the year. And I don't see why. That was just a story, bro. So now you're a little bitch. How do you like them apples, Fred?
What about the CMLL women's tag match with Stephanie Vaquer getting a win over Johnny Robbie? Stephanie Vaquer and Zeus versus Johnny Robbie and Luvia. I've never said any of those names out loud other than Stephanie Vaquer. I probably butchered them. But most importantly, post-match, Stephanie Vaquer challenging Mayu Iwatani for the IWGP Women's Championship at Texas Lone Star.
Love it. You don't want any of this, Fred Rosser. Love it. Look, I thought these ladies put on a hell of a show. Outside of Stephanie Vaquer, I didn't know any of them. But I thought they used their time wisely, and I thought they looked great. And I love I love Stephanie Vaquer. When they did that tournament for this Open Strong, the women's, she fucking tore it up with Mercedes. And I would not have been mad if Stephanie Vaquer had beaten her. I know there's, you know, the internet would have melted or whatever, but homegirl can go. Now you are really fucking killing me right now, man.
Not so much praise for that match. Like, I think from a pure wrestling standpoint, that's Mercedes' best match since she's left WWE. From a purist standpoint, you got the Kairi match, which is more grandiose and it's more epic, and you had the table bit, and of course you got the triple threat match at Sakura Genesis and all this stuff. But just for the purists, for the diehards, whatever you want to call yourself, for the technical boys, that match against Stephanie Vaquer is Mercedes' best match for me.
Absolutely. So she going out and calling out Mio Iwatani is huge.
Yeah, I can't wait. That is very much a dream match. A match, like, again, I was going to cherry pick the matches I wanted to watch from this show. I just literally have not had the time. But I know Gabe Kidd getting the win over Tom Lawler. I feel like this is a match that would have fucked.
This was a great match, but Gabe Kidd is a shit, okay? He fucking cheated. He hit him with the belt. He's a cheating, dirty, rotten son of a bitch, Kieran.
He's a dog. He's got that dog in him.
Or fucking bite him then. Don't use a belt, bitch. He was afraid of Tom Lawler short shorts. I love Tom Lawler. And Gabe, this was great. This was what you would expect out of these two guys and the war dogs and their shenanigans, you know, the belt behind the referee's back. Gets a huge win for Gabe Kidd. But I don't think we've seen the last of Tom Lawler in New Japan, I hope.
Oh, we fucking better not. No, he should be. I hope he's going to be around for a long, long time. Next match of note, Julia defeating Haiyan to retain the Strong Women's Championship. The one match I did watch, as I mentioned. Really cool to see Haiyan in a New Japan ring.
Yeah.
I thought this was a really good match. I don't think it was blow away, but it showed you that there's something to Haiyan, I think. You get her in a Stardom, you let her improve in a Stardom dojo, a TJPW dojo, get those reps in where she's wrestling every other night as part of these Japanese tours, and I think you've got someone really great on your hands. I think a big thing as well for you, you often see in any, like in New Japan, some people will be on a show and the appearance is not up to scratch. Do you know what I mean? Like some guys, just the ring gear is kind of very indie, and that's because they are indie guys. But
right,
Judy, of course, always looks like a $1,000,000. She's the coolest, coolest motherfucker in wrestling.
If you have never seen it, if this was people's first introduction to Julie, and I'm sorry to cut you off, Kieran, like this is why she was number two in the PWI 250. Like she's a fucking superstar. She didn't even get in the ring yet, and she's a superstar, and you're turning heads, and you're looking up Julia matches that you're going to watch after this match with High Am.
That's the thing. Julia gets you from the off. As soon as she enters through that curtain, you just know this woman is something. Like, she's got something. There's something about her. But I feel like High Am as well has got that. She has that great appearance. The ring gear looks amazing. The ring entrance, the attire. She looks like she belongs. She wasn't out of place in a New Japan ring. She wasn't out of place against one of the best women's wrestlers in the world.
Yeah, no, she this was a great match. This was good. Great showing by High Am. If Julia's the bar and that's how they decide, like if High Am can go out there and go with Julia for 12 minutes and it could be a good match, then we need to take her, like you said, over there and get her the reps that she needs because she's only gonna get better.
Talk to me about ELP and Hikuleo eating all the monster sauce.
I'm still not in on them as the tag champs. I'm sorry, Hikuleo and ELP. Good match. Love Monster Sauce. You know, anytime you're going to get Alex Zane and ELP in the same ring together, you know, there's going to be fireworks. I just, Hikuleo and ELP just feel clunky to me. It doesn't work.
It's
like,
crazy to me that they defeated Wardog for the title.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It's just, doesn't work for me, and I don't know why, and I hope they're only going to get better because I know they're defending at Lone Star against Royce.
West Coast Wrecking Crew, yeah. Let's fucking go. Get the belts on them, man.
Please. So it was good. Good match. Good tag match. You know, Monster Sauce. Always great to see Lance Archer in the ring. You know, I'm a fucking homer for Lance. I want more Lance in New Japan, even if he's losing, because his presentation in Japan is just, he always feels way more important than he does in the States. Eddie Kingston, Hanare for the strong openweight championship was what you would expect. I thought Hanare had a great showing. You know, this is why they put the belt on Eddie Kingston. They're going to set him up with the Hanares, the Kojimas, you know. He's going to defend the title at some fucking Dynamite against Suzuki or somebody who's in town. You know, like, this is what he's going to do until they find, you know, they're going to have to get, right now it's just it's a one-off, right? There's no real story. You know, they had their history from the G1, you know.
Oh man, like, this is since the G1, this is a 2-month match in the making. Like, had the match in the G1 and then like the last 3 nights or the last 2 nights or whatever, they attacked each other post-match and then tag match at Royal Quest. Like, this was a long time coming, this match. I'm surprised that they made it, that match happen so long after it's like the feud started.
I think it's Eddie's first defense, right? Like, Eddie Hanare,
was it? Eddie's got a few defenses, I think. I think he had one where he like defended both titles against someone in AEW.
Oh, didn't he beat Shibata?
Yeah, Wrestle Dream was for both titles.
Let's see, he's defended the title against Suzuki too.
Yuma and Sonata, Hiromu and Naito went to a 20-minute draw, and then the main event, which I've heard good things about, I have to say. Looking at Tama Tonga versus Shingo, seeing it went almost 27 minutes isn't something that I don't know that I would have watched this one on like going back with this knowledge. Watching it live, obviously, no problem. But what was this match like? Especially because, like, first off, let's say a prayer. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Thank you, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for freeing the NEVER Open Weight Championship from Guerrillas of Destiny, from Bullet Club, and getting it back onto its rightful owner, Shingo Takagi. Amen.
I don't fucking get it. This, so you know, in every New Japan show, they do the rundown of the card before the show starts, yep. Right? So, and Kingston and Hanare is like the eighth match, and I'm like, what's the main event? It can't be fucking. Tama.
Never
Tonga.
Opened my tar, always got prestige. On a card like this,
yes,
main
but
event.
I'm just like, again, if you've been listening to us from go, I was so high on the Tama Tonga when he won the Never Open Weight the first time.
Yeah.
He broke out and he won and then he instantly lost it to fucking Carl Anderson. And we just have, we're not capturing that, right? And then him beating David Finley was like a what the fuck thing. Tama Tonga is either like stink facing everybody's mother in the office because like they can't decide what to do with him in this belt, or they have like, he's got like, they have something against him. I don't understand why he has the title belt again. And then he just loses it.
I don't know. I think they love Tama Tonga. Like, they could have easily had Finley in this position. He's 2-time never open weight champion. Like, I said it on the last episode. I've probably said it before again. Like, the problem with the Tama Tonga now is that he's only feuded against Bullet Club since leaving Bullet Club. Now he's free to just do shit. Get him, Tama, and Tanga and ELP or Hikuleo challenge for the Never Six Men and lose.
They have
don't
the open,
fucking
they have
don't,
the open weight titles. Don't I mean, his title run was 19 days. What's the point?
What? Yeah, but we should be cheering that.
I Ooh. Know. It's just like...
It's good. I agree. Like, what's the fucking point? But thank God at the same time.
Yes. With that being said, this may have been one of the best Tama Tonga matches
Goddamn.
I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Who does Shingo is? He's like the unsung hero of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Like, this is great for the Never Openweight Championship, and this means Shingo's going to be in a pretty prominent spot going into Wrestle Kingdom, hopefully.
I mean, I want to say, like, shout out to Fuso and Jamie, two of the guys over at Wrestling who had done the Puro Vision podcast, because they were saying how Tama Tonga can meets the level of his opponents. So if he's got an opponent that's much better than him, he will get up to their level.
Yep. Like he did it with Jay White. Yep.
Done it with Okada. Done it with Jay White last year. He's done it with Shingo Takagi, according to you, this past weekend.
This is a great match,
also,
man.
He'll sink, I think. He'll sink to a Carl Anderson. He'll have a shit match. He can't elevate his opponents, but he can so easily be elevated by his opponent. He can't make a bad Carl Anderson match good. But Tama Tonga versus Shingo Takagi, Shingo can make a good Tama Tonga match great.
Yes. It's a great analogy. I mean, this match did it all. The Last Dragon for the win. Shingo's your Never Openweight Champion. Like, just if you're going to, you know, if you could find the half an hour, like, watch this match. I thought it was great.
And then a post-match video challenge from AEW's Trent. AKA Trent Barrera, because saying Trent just sounds weird.
I love it. I fucking love it.
Yeah? You're a big Trent fan.
I don't think Trent gets the credit he deserves. Don't forget, when Omega Jericho started,
that match was fucking phenomenal.
It was Kenny Omega, Trent Barrera for the US title. Like, so many people forget that. And it was such a good match.
He ate so much shit in that match. I'm sure he done like a suicide dive and Kenny's just not there and he just fucking eats total shit. Like, that match is fantastic.
And look, we're talking years ago now, and he's probably not the same guy in terms of like he's gonna go 100 miles an hour.
A couple of injuries.
But he's done some fucking fantastic stuff in AEW and tag matches against Santana and Ortiz during the pandemic. Like, he's good. Shingo Takagi, Trent Barrera is gun. Like, that's a match I want to see at Lone Star Shootout. Like, I'm in for that.
They're stacking Lone Star Shootout again. We're going to preview that because that show will be happening before our next recording. But before that, this coming Saturday on November the 4th, Power Struggle, Osaka, Eddie on Arena, Osaka. Full card isn't announced yet, so we can't preview the whole show, but we can preview what we've got.
I got what do you got? I got 7 on Wikipedia. What do you got?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Plus the tag league final as well, which we don't know who is in.
Oh, they got the tag league final up here, so I guess you Ooh. Have one more than me.
Exciting. Is it the Frontier Zone, the pre-show match?
It's not, but I did see that was announced with the Dragon Gate guys, which is
Frontier Zone returns. Yeah, the Frontier Zone returns. It's going to be a 6-man tag. We only know one team so far. It's the Dragon Gate team, like Matt said. Mochi, Zico Jr., Yoshihiki Kato, and Strong Machine J representing Dragon Gate. Those three men getting to perform on the New Japan show. can only lead to good things from them and more exposure. And you know, who are they going to face? Is it going to be a DDT team? Is it going to be a just tap out team? Freedoms, Noah, you know, who just a raggle of independence? Who knows? So it's a really cool fucking idea. We spoke about this before. This is this is fantastic.
Yeah, look, I enjoyed it when they did it at oh Jesus Christ.
Destruction Ryokoku.
Yes, thank you, Destruction. I don't know why I want to say Dominion, but I know Dominion's in June, so it's not Dominion. Yes, look, anytime you're going to use the NJPW platform to introduce somebody like me who doesn't have the time to go and watch a DDT or a Dragon Gate, like it's just not humanly possible for me unless I quit my job or won the lottery. I love it. I love it. Do you know if the new guy's going to call this show? Or are we still
getting
Kevin?
Yeah, he is. No, 100% he is. He is, yeah. This is going to be his big...
This is it.
Yeah, I can't remember. I don't think he's doing any of the Super Junior Tag Leagues. I'm pretty sure this is his big Japanese debut. Although he has recorded from home for the Japanese commentary only shows. So like they will upload at a later time the English commentary, like Kevin Kelly records from home. Yeah. He's done that for a night or two of Super Junior Tag League. So I don't know if that's up on New Japan World yet, but this will be his live Japanese debut. I'm pretty confident.
All right. He's very...
He's also a kid.
Yes, look, I hope he... It's just, look, man, we're going from... Like, Kevin Kelly is...
Like, I'm from one of the most experienced and veteran commentators that's been around since, what, the 90s?
Yes, like, I'm rooting for the new kid. What's Stewart?
Walker
Stewart. I'm rooting for him, right? But it's very, like, you got to give me time, right?
Oh, 100%.
Now, I'm not going to bust his balls. From what I heard Saturday, he sounds like a very generic dude. But maybe he has to come out of his shell. Cause I know he's called tons of independent wrestling in the States. So there's a reason he was chosen. It's just going to take time for me to get used to it. He's going to be there with Chris. So that'll be good.
I think that's a big part of it as well. It's going to be the relationship with Chris and potentially any other commentators. Cause the banter with Chris and Kevin is something they accumulated over years and years of reps. Yeah. I don't remember what Chris was like when he first joined commentary, but I feel like he didn't have experience beforehand. He was a fan. I remember when I first got into New Japan Pro Wrestling, I followed Chris Charlton because he was the only English account that would translate backstage comments and post-match promos. And from doing that, he ended up, you know, being New Japan's English boy, basically. Like anything they need translated, Chris Charlton. We got Chris Charlton, baby. And turns out he's also written a book on New Japan, and he wrote another book on New Japan. True. And he's a fucking encyclopedia on Japanese, not just New Japan, but Japanese wrestling. Like New Japan hit the jackpot with Chris, but he took time to get into the commentary fold. And now he's going to be all the lessons Kevin Kelly taught him. He's going to pass on to Walker Stewart. And I think the exciting thing is that Walker Stewart is in his early 20s, I believe. Kevin Kelly has attachments at home. He has a wife. He has a kid. Quite frankly, if I was Walker Stewart, I'd be like, yeah, do you guys want me to move to Japan and I'll do every fucking show ever? Like, if I had no attachments, if I didn't have a girlfriend or a wife or anything like that, and New Japan were like, do you want to come work for us full time? I'd fucking be on the next plane.
You better watch what you say on this show, buddy.
What?
Look, I'm just saying, man. People might come a knocking for you, bro. Not me. They don't want no part of me.
If they do, I hypothetically said this, Hazel. I was like, if New Japan, for whatever reason, were like, do you want to come work for us full time in Japan? What would you do? And she's like, well, I guess I'd have to fucking hope my job will let me work on the Japanese time zone. And I got a good supportive fiance like that. I'm lucky.
That's my wife would be like, see ya. Good luck. Have fun. I'll be here when you're back. Make sure to Venmo me the fucking mortgage payment. Fucking weirdo. Enjoy that.
No, but it's going to be cool. It's going to take time. And he's going to grow with the product as well. Like he's going to be around for a very long time if everything works out.
Yeah.
It's just that we've only known Kevin since they went with English commentary in like 2014, 2015. It's been right. Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be interesting, but I'm rooting for him. I really am. But, you know, from what Saturday was just, you know, he needs to,
I must say if that's his first one and you're not dragging him across the coal.
Well, I don't think it's fair to drag him across the coal.
Then that's not a bad sign.
No, like I said, he needs to find his groove.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And I'm not going to fucking jump on him for that. Give him time. In a year, if he didn't find his groove, then I'll fucking eviscerate him.
Come make a note. So October 30th, 2024, when we record around then, we'll get Matt's updated opinion.
How about you make a note that, you know, fucking time zone changes so I don't sit in front of my computer like an asshole for 10 minutes.
Man, fuck's sake. So UK clock.
How about you make that note first? It only took us a year and a half for me to eat fucking bread, but twice we fucked this up now.
God damn it, man. It's quite a fucking... All right, I'm logging off. I'll see you later.
Oh, that's it. That's where the line is drawn after all the shit I've said.
I felt so bad. Like, literally, Hazel put the food on the table as you messaged me, and you was like, we said normal time, right? And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, oh, shit. And literally, it says Hazel, and she's cooked a roast dinner as well. It's not even like she's just thrown something in the microwave. She spent a lot of time cooking, and I was like, fuck.
Well, I wasn't going to be like, get here now. You fucking were like, I'm like, whatever. I went back downstairs and played like half a hockey game.
Yeah, no, I fucked up. Power struggle, though. Like we said, we don't have full match card. We don't have the match card order. I'm just going to go with what's on the New Japan website. IWGP US UK Heavyweight Championship. Will Ospreay defending against Shota Umino. Shota Umino demanding Will Ospreay brings both titles, the US and the UK. That's a pretty ominous telltale right there.
You think so?
I think it's too soon for Shota to be winning this singles title. Never open weight, NJPW World, sure, this is the proxy second top title in New Japan because of the work Will Ospreay has put into it. But also just asking him to bring both, and also the fact that Shota's lost three times to Will Ospreay. Granted, only one of them's been, one of them at Royal Quest 2, one of them at Historic Crossover. And the other one was Rev Pro. Like, I wouldn't really include the Rev Pro one much. Shota was an excursion. It's just hard to see Shota losing again.
Yeah, but this is Will fucking Ospreay, dude.
I know. It frees him up to just have a dream match at Wrestle Kingdom, I suppose, with no repercussions. But also, it's, I don't know, is Will Ospreay leaving? The New Japan know he's leaving? So, like, okay, let's get the belt off of Will Ospreay now. Like,
the Will Ospreay rumors are hot, brother.
They are. I can see Will losing this.
That would upset me.
It would upset me. I think what I am confident in is we get something set for Wrestle Kingdom here between Will, Shota, and Moxley. Whether it's Will versus Moxley, or Shota versus Moxley, or Moxley turning on Shota, or Shota turning on Moxley, there's going to be something between those three men, I feel, to set something up for Wrestle Kingdom. And there's unfinished business between Ospreay and Moxley. Moxley got the win over Ospreay, and Ospreay's leg was under the bottom rope.
Yes, and that was the... Because then they ran it back with a four-way, right? Because then he almost fucking died when he got sick. And so then, he's never gotten his rightful rematch, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I could see Ospreay versus Moxley at Wrestle Kingdom.
Do it for the titles and let fucking Sir Bleeds a Lot take both of them. I'm not ready for Umino to win.
Keep AEW away from our titles, man.
Look, man, if you have him beat Ospreay and then the next night at the New Beginnings, the luck of the draw, he fucking loses to someone, like, I don't care. Let Shooter beat him at the next night. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't want to see Moxley hold the belt again. I know New Japan will probably love it because he's one of the most popular wrestlers in the world. But you've also got the dream match, the match that we all needed, but no one knew we needed, Matt. Great O'Khan versus John Moxley.
It's weird. I'll give you that.
It's fucking bizarre. I love Great O'Khan. I don't think this match is going to be good. I think this is going to fucking suck.
I mean, John Moxley, if you've read his book, like, Japan is very sacred to him, right? It means the world to him. Now, look, I don't think he's going to go in there and have a fucking Will Ospreay, Speedball, Mike Bailey, 5-star, 6-star match, right? But if you play to... He's smart enough, though. He's got to play to Great O'Khan's strengths. And I think that's the only way this works.
I'm ready to eat crow and them to... put on something really good, but just this isn't a stylistic match that works on paper for me.
No, on paper this does nothing for me. It's very much like Great O'Khan Okada. Like, I just, it doesn't, that doesn't do anything for me. And they weren't terrible matches, but at the time you're like, this is what we're doing with Okada. like pre United Empire Great O'Con.
I have a question for you, Matt.
Yo.
What blackmail, what horrible information does Tangaloa hold over Gedo? That he can get booked in a singles match at Destruction of Ryogoku, and he can get booked in another singles match at Power Struggle. Tangaloa clearly knows something that Gedo doesn't want anyone else to know. That's the only rational explanation.
I think this goes back to the Tamatanga thing, right? Like, this is what we're doing. We took all these guys, we kicked them out of Bullet Club, and now they're feuding with Bullet Club, and the shelf life of this stuff wasn't long for this world, and you're just... The bread is moldy. Throw it in the fucking garbage, guys. Like, I don't know. Look, Tangaloa was gone for a while. He had the knee surgery. He's back. Great. I'm glad he's in the ring.
Are you glad he's in the ring? I'm glad he's healthy. I never wish ill health on any of them. But, you know, I'm not ever happy watching Tangaloa competing in the New Japan ring now.
Like, I'd rather if he would, like, G.O.D. got back together, like, that's serviceable for me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can get away with that. His weaknesses are covered up and stuff. But Christ, back-to-back Tangaloa matches at two big shows? Get fucked.
And this, you know, I was so high on this, you know, I was real low on the David Finlay, but then he put together the War Dogs. But now, like, I don't know. I feel like it's lost its steam. He lost his title. They lost their tag titles. I don't know. I feel like we're just spinning our tires now with this Bullet Club War Dogs thing. And
hopefully this,
like,
is the end of it. Hopefully this is the end of it.
And I've seen, like, some weird fucking person online use, like, a face recognition scan of the devil on AEW who attacked Jay White, and it, like, matches up perfectly with David Finlay.
What the fuck?
But I don't think that's even remotely right. Because that's, like, way inside fucking baseball, and you are not catering to the AEW fan base if you do David Finlay as the devil.
Honestly, people, go consume other media than pro wrestling. Please. I implore you. But I was at Comic-Con on Sunday, and I had a sticker, and it was Go Touch Grass.
Oh.
And I almost bought it, and I was going to have it for the podcast whenever you say something like that. Just hold up the sticker.
I don't know, man. You know what they're gonna do, Kieran? They're gonna go back to back Finlay Tangaloa and then John Moxley Great O'Con, and then you're just gonna want to fucking, you know, go outside and touch grass.
John Moxley Great O'Con has potential, at least.
It does have potential. I mean, look, who know? You know, I don't know. I don't fucking know. I'm trying not to be negative, but maybe there's a silver lining with David Finlay Tangaloa. Maybe Haku shows up.
If Haku turns up and he attacks Tangaloa, great. If he attacks his own son, I'm all for it.
Oh, wow, man. So Tangaloa's on your list. Okay, you have a very short list. My list is super long, but I'm going to take note of this.
Bog awful to watch, man. Yuya Uemura and Sanada taking on Yoshitsugi and Tetsuya Naito, another tag preview for the Wrestle Kingdom main event. But it's got a bit of intrigue here. Yuya and Suji, clearly the future.
Yep.
You could see Yuya, like, these are two future leaders of the stable. Yuya could be the future of Just Five Guys. Suji, the guy to take over LIJ. There's a bit of intrigue here.
Here's something I just thought of. Do they use this tag match? Because I think it's the direction they're going to start. Because they've already planted the Suji Naito seeds.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a moment in this tag match where maybe, you know, Suji accidentally hits Naito or tags himself in and steals a win? Because if you go back to him joining LIJ, it kind of seemed like Suji just was like, I'm in fucking LIJ and there's nothing you can do about it, buddy.
Suji's like, I'm here now. Like, it's the Captain Phillips meme. Like, look at me. I'm in LIJ now. I think it's probably too soon for stuff like that, but the day that stuff starts happening, Suji challenging Naito, where if Naito wins the title, fantastic. And on the other hand, Uemura straight up said, the only reason I'm conditioning me joining Just Five Guys is I want to face each of these guys in singles match. Uemura has made no bones about his side of things. But yeah, that's a really cool match. Never Openweight Six-Man Tag Team Championships. Ishii, Tanahashi, and Okada defending against TMDK, Shane Hayes, Mikey Nichols, and Zack Sabre Jr. This could be match of the night.
Prior to Mr. Glass getting hurt, I thought this was TMDK's chance to win the six-man. But now that, like, Okada doesn't, like, essentially, they were going to run back Okada Danielson at Wrestle Kingdom, right?
That's what everyone's guessing, yeah.
But if he's fucking got a broken face and he can't wrestle the rest of the year, I mean, technically, Wrestle Kingdom is in January, but...
That's a good point. That's a very good point, Matt.
Like, I don't know. Is that what they're like? Are they really going to string us along? Like, he's out for the rest of the year.
Yeah, they would. But then they'd have to announce it at, like, the end of the year or something.
Look, they're fucking AEW's running that pay-per-view December 30th.
Oh, yeah. World's End, something
right
like
that. Right out here in my neck of the woods.
You going?
I don't know.
Damn, you're really down on AEW.
I'm not. It's just like... I don't know, man. I don't know.
Wait and see what the card is. Is it one of
like
them?
I'm more excited to go to like the indie show where the War Dogs are going to be at, you know?
Oh, shit. We got to talk about that. That's a good point.
I don't know. You got to pay. You got to drive out to fucking Long Island. Like, I'd rather have someone hammer a fucking nail into my pee hole than drive to Long Island.
I could see Team DK winning here. It's a proper team. Shane Haston's Mike Nichols are long overdue some fucking gold. But then also it is the question of what do these three men do at Wrestle Kingdom. Ishii doesn't necessarily get a Wrestle Kingdom spot. It's more Tanahashi and Okada. Right. And I think they've done such wonders for the titles. And I wonder if the best place for them is the champions at Wrestle Kingdom. And you get just another wild outsider team to challenge them. Maybe Kiyomiya comes in with a couple of Noah boys. Or
oh, the GHC champ. Oh, he's not the champion.
Keno beat Jake Lee. But yeah, I want to maybe Kiyomiya comes back with a couple of Noah boys to challenge, or you know, you get another Impact team, another AEW team.
What if what's his nuts that just left? No, Nakajima.
Yeah, maybe Nakajima comes in with a couple of All Japan boys, or just some couple of Japanese independent guys that are like top tier. I think I like that idea better of them facing another just crazy fucking fun team. Because this team has been awesome. And because it's Wrestle Kingdom, they do something special. Right. I'm not talking fucking Blackpool Combat Club because they've done that. I don't know. Would the Elite be too far-fetched? Bucks and
what
Kenny?
What about House of Black?
House of Black? Like, yeah.
Brody King, Buddy Matthews, and Malachi?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
LFI?
I'm very stuck on the fact that I just said the Elite. Realizing that now, how fucking cool that would be.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
One of the Bucks can take the pinfall. You get Kenny Okada back in the ring.
Again. Yeah.
Everyone loses their mind. I've worked myself up. There's a tweet going out after this episode about that now.
Do it, baby.
I'm gonna get them sweet, sweet quick clicks. IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship, the returning Taiji Ishimori, challenging Hiromu Takahashi, looking for his seventh defense of the title, Hiromu. I hope Hiromu retains. I'm all aboard Hiromu to Wrestle Kingdom.
I am with you, but I feel like this is like a trap, and someone at New Japan is just like, let's pull the trigger on this just to fuck everything up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're probably going to end up giving us another four-way, because that's what they do with the junior title, right? So who gives a shit who the champion is?
I think that's the question. If Hiromu retains, who do you have challenge him at Wrestle Kingdom? I don't know if he's defended against El Desperado, but we've kind of gone to that well one too many times.
Do you just do the Hiromu Leo Rush match?
Maybe. I mean, there's not. I feel like he's gone through so many people in the junior division. And I don't want Wrestle Kingdom to suddenly start turning into a party where there's AEW guys and Impact guys and Noah guys. And like, it needs to be a New Japan focus show.
Right. But the Leo Rush thing makes sense. Like,
Leo Rush, of course. Yeah.
He earned his way into that three way and he unfortunately got sick. Like, if we're going to do it, let's do it one-on-one, right?
Yeah, I'm just wondering. Like, I don't know who the choices are. Like, short of a Kose Fujita, but it's probably too soon for that. Yeah, I don't know. Your choice is Doki? Like, put Doki in there with Hiromu at Wrestle Kingdom, and Doki will kill himself for that match. He will fucking go above and beyond.
If Clark and Driller end up in the finals against Despy and Wado and they beat them, is Master Wado Hiromu a match you'd want to see at Wrestle Kingdom?
No. I think because then it's kind of Wado got that at Best of the Super Juniors. By winning Best of the Super Juniors. I don't like the idea of running it back again without some type of merit. But yeah, I'm struggling for legitimate competitors, like aside from Leo Rush being the obvious one, as to who could be a legitimate challenger, because you don't want
Mustafa Ali.
Show would suck ass. That's a great fucking shout. Yeah, you get he either appears at Power Struggle, he appears at the World Tag League Final because that's kind of their last big show, or video message. Yeah, that's a big enough fucking challenger, and it's not bullshit. Like too much of a bullshit outsider.
I think that's your call right there. Hiromu Mustafa Ali at Wrestle Kingdom would be fucking wild, dude.
And then there's also the Super Junior Tag League Final, but we don't know who's going to be in that yet. But Power Struggle shaping up to be a pretty fucking good card.
Yeah, and no, it's their last.
Exactly, it's the last card that's its own isolated card, because World Tag League Final is the World Tag League Final. They'll do something, some stuff will happen there. But this is the big hurrah to kind of set in motion what Wrestle Kingdom is really going to look like.
Oh, yeah. Sign me up for that. I'm here for it, baby.
Yeah, Wrestle Kingdom, man, it's fucking imminent. Lone Star Shootout. Actually, before we get to Lone Star Shootout, let's go through the Twitter comments, because Kate, as we mentioned, Kate Fabe, over on Twitter, on Fightful, everywhere else, friend of Wizards, friends of Bread Club, doing the $100 gift giveaway with Matt. Very excited you ate bread. He finally ate bread with the smiling face emoji with a tear of joy running down the face. So much fun seeing Kieran all over Royal Quest as well. Julian, as always, leaving us a nice comment. He said what Zach and Ospreay did at Royal Quest was art. Having a guess at some of the matches for Wrestle Kingdom, saying Ospreay versus Mox and Okada versus Brian, although that one's obviously maybe in the shitter. For Super Junior Tag League, he was saying he thinks Catch 2-2 have a good shot. He was predicting Catch 2-2 versus Desperado in the finals. I feel like that's maybe what you said. I don't know.
Maybe.
Scott George, hooray in capital letters at you finally eating bread, and all it took was Kojima following you to do it. Oh shit, you talk about Kojima. You gave Kojima the Wizards rub, man. He's getting to challenge Eddie Kingston for the fucking title, man.
That's it, man. You follow me, I get you the title shot. I know people. I'm not fucking, you know, I don't talk about it like Kieran. I don't have 40 minutes of stories about people in Buckingham Palace, but I'll get you a title shot anytime you need one.
He's saying he agrees with you, Matt. Catch 2-2 seemed to be the story with them winning the tournament, going into Wrestle Kingdom as winners. And he said you should dress as Kairi Sane for Halloween with the steering wheel.
Oh, that's right. I forgot I was going to dress up as a pirate today.
Well, there's always next Halloween.
Yeah. Well, you know, people, you know, hey, let me ask you, what would happen if you ate fucking bread? They're going wild for me, and you know I'm the low man on the totem pole here.
Bullshit. You're the entertainment here.
I'm entertaining, but I'm not what they come to see. They come to hear your New Japan expertise. What happens if you eat bread? Bits.
The only bread I ever have in my house is just normal loaf of bread. You can't eat that shit dry. I'd have to buy bread especially for it.
I mean, that's what I did, dude. Will you fuck to Jeremy? Pay us an extra couple shekels, we'll get some bread.
Yeah, if Jeremy pays me a couple of extra bucks so that I can go buy the bread, and then not that, or if I can put it through my make believe expenses.
Yeah, we need to get Kieran the finest bread, because if this is the reaction when I eat fucking bread, and I look like I eat bread all the time, imagine the
I
views.
I have bread for lunch pretty much every day, I think.
Yeah, well, you don't look like you ate a fucking whole bag of bread every day, buddy, all right? I don't know what you're doing over there. You're walking, not taking the tube, I don't know. If this is the reaction from me, Fightful. Imagine if Kieran RH93 on Twitter, if he eats fucking bread on the show, explosions, fire. It would be like, it's like CM Punk at Survivor Series. Kieran eats bread.
Wrestle Kingdom's imminent. We'll make it the Wrestle Kingdom special. The Wrestle Kingdom special. It'll be Kieran. The headline will be Kieran eats bread, and the subheadline will be like Wrestle Kingdom news. That's the level of importance. But yeah, no, thanks for the comments, guys. Leave us comments as always. We've still got Lone Star Shootout to preview, but I think we should get our plugs in quickly, Matt, before we
plugs
rather than waiting to the end, because you know we've said at Wizards Podcast, give them a follow and listen, because you could be in with a chance of winning an $100 gift card to whatever the fuck you want, anything you want, any shop. easy as hell. You just got to subscribe to Wizards and subscribe to Kate's YouTube as well. All the details are on their Twitter. Matt, any special guests? I know you had a Tim Boston.
Yeah, Stone Cold Tim Boston was on last week. Great guy. He indie guy out of Nebraska who does the Steve Austin gimmick, but he likes ice cream instead of beer.
Yes,
it's very entertaining. And by the time this comes out, I can say this now. You will definitely want to watch the next episode or listen to it because it is a Handsome Kevin's birthday surprise extravaganza show.
Oh, yes.
He has no idea. He thinks we're going to record a regular show tonight. He has no fucking idea. All right. I have booked Dave Sullivan. He's the equalizer in WCW. Savio Vega, Dr. Tom Pritchard, Eugene. They're booked. I have a bunch of his independent friends from Minnesota joining us. The fun is, if they, because there are a lot of these people are all over the world, right? So they don't know the difference, most of them. Eastern time, Central time, West Coast time. So there's a good chance it's either going to go really smooth. I already told Tony, I go, I think Savio Vega is going to fucking bail. Right? I just got a bad feeling about it. Dr. Tom Pritchard wants us to call, so we had to create a Skype account. It's gonna be
a clusterfuck,
and he's gonna love every second of it. Yes. It's gonna be madness. It's gonna be absolute madness, and we're gonna have so much fun. And he doesn't know we're doing it. We did get some of his closest friends in the wrestling community to be a part of it, so it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a lot of fun. So that is happening tonight.
At Wizards Podcast on Twitter. Search Shining Wizards wherever you get your YouTube, your podcasts. Subscribe, check them out. You can follow me on Twitter at KieranRH93. I'm part of WrestleIn at WrestleIN. Patreon.com/WrestleIn. Lots of podcasts, two podcasts every week. A third one over on Patreon that I'm part of. Tons of features and columns. If I can fucking find some spare time in my busy life between working my old job, my new job, and my wrestling related work, I've got a couple of interviews I need to finalize shit on. DDT's Yuki Ueno, AEW's Lee Moriarty, and I've been speaking with Hyan that we've spoken about on this show for months. Life is busy, let's say. Life is busy. It's nice to have this bread club few hours where I don't have to think about anything but New Japan
and bread.
And bread, of course. Bread's always on my mind, though. Oh, bread's really always there. It's like my brain is half bread.
Yeah, so look, I put it over every week. The Patreon for the wrestling is great. I get an email maybe weekly of great content. If you are a New Japan fan, you watch this, you're not familiar with the rest of the wrestling promotions in Japan, and you want to check them out, wrestling's the only place to get like up-to-date.
There's a podcast for you.
Oh my god. At least Choco Pro, DDT, Dragon Gate, they cover it all. It's really phenomenal. And the Patreon is extremely affordable for the content you get.
That's what we try and do. But yeah, Lone Star Shootout preview to wrap up this episode of Bread Club, heading over to Texas. Again, full card isn't announced yet, but this morning, today, they did announce a bunch of new matches, and god damn is it looking like a sexy card.
It's going to be interesting. Very interesting. Mystico, TJP is pretty exciting. Mystico, Rocky Romero on the Rampage a couple weeks ago.
Mystico perhaps never more in the American limelight than he is right now.
Yeah, yeah. Right, you know, and he's fucking great in the ring. Joey Janela Torriano is going to be
Can we as a wrestling community come together and just like put a stop to Joey Janela? Just call it a day on Joey Janela.
You're not a fan?
Ugh, man, the dude does nothing for me. And he gets all these fucking crazy matches. I'm not talking Torriano. Like, this sounds like a nightmare to me. But like, he goes to Japan and he just gets put in the ring with fucking really great wrestlers, and I can't remember anyone off the top of my head, but whenever I see a Joey Janela match, I'm like, why is it him standing across the ring from that person? There's so many great other talents, independent and otherwise. I'm not a Joey Janela fan.
Fair enough, Kieran.
This sounds god awful to me.
No, look, it's gonna be. This is gonna be something. This is. Here's the thing: love him or hate him, Joey Janela will find a way to make this entertaining.
I don't know.
He'll do something crazy. He'll let fucking Yano staple his tongue to a turnbuckle or something outrageous.
It's not for me. It's not for me. And considering the time difference and stuff, this is a match I will probably never see.
I'll talk all about it.
Unless people go batshit crazy about it. A match I will definitely be watching. NJPW World Television Championship on the line. Zack Sabre Jr., you're looking for his 16th defense of the title against Speedball Mike fucking Bailey. What? This is awesome. What a match to announce. Just out of thin air, New Japan was like, this is a cool match. Let's do it.
What, so this is awesome, by the way, but my brain works 1,000 miles a minute and usually causes me to stumble, tumble, bumble over my words. So Zack Sabre Jr. is having, he's in the conversation for Wrestle of the Year. He's having great matches with all these different people. They're always entertaining. The New Japan World TV Champion. This match is awesome. He beats Mike Bailey. I feel like they're setting themselves up to get a fucking pie face, though, because who are we leaving to beat Zack Sabre Jr.? And who's going to be able to carry on this legacy? Remember, this is the first reign of the New Japan World Television title. He is setting the bar extremely high, because this is not how every New Japan World TV title run is going to be.
I had the exact same thought. I'm scrolling from my phone right now. I put out a tweet, simple tweet. Who should beat Zack Sabre Jr. for the title? And it fucking exploded. I'm trying to find a goddamn tweet. It had 91 responses. So 91 people fucking giving their opinion on who Zack should beat Zack for the title. Lots of people were saying no one should beat him. Yes, of course. That's great, but that's not how wrestling works. If Gato called me up and Gato was like, Kieran, my bro, I need you to help me out here. And I was like, of course, Gato, what do you need from me? I'm your number one fan. And he was like, I don't know how to get the title off of Zack. I want Yuya Uemura to beat Zack. I think Wrestle Kingdom, Yuya Uemura versus Zack Sabre Jr. and let Yuya Uemura have a run. I don't expect him to have a long run, a few defenses, sure. But yeah, I like the idea of Yuya Uemura being the one to beat Zack.
All right. I'm on board with it.
But it is a difficult one. Because in a way, I feel like the person to beat him needs to be someone bigger and better. Like an Okada. I'm not saying Okada should beat him, but it feels like because of the pedigree of this title now, it shouldn't be an upset. It needs to be that makes sense for Zack to lose to... I don't know, for Zack to lose to Naito, or for Zack to lose to Okada, or Zack to lose to another leader of a stable that I can't think of.
Or Shibata.
Yeah, I think it just needs to be someone that can be a clear better than him rather than an upset. But realistically, the only choice is someone to cause an upset.
Yeah, I mean, is there a world we live in where this Speedball Mike Bailey beats him here?
No, I don't think we live in that world.
Okay.
I don't see that happening at all. But I do see this being a fantastic match with the stuff Speedball can do and the counters that Zack Sabre Jr. is going to pull off on this boy. It's going to be awesome. Speedball going for Ultima off the top rope, going for the double knees, and Zack somehow catching him in midair and blocking in a leg lock. There's going to be some really cool stuff out of this match.
Yeah, no, 100%. Look, we didn't even talk about it, but Ospreay, Mike Bailey, fuck.
Oh yeah, I've not seen it. I know.
Oh, dude,
5.25 stars. Lots of bonkers. Acclaim for TNA Impact now. Going back to TNA,
Monsters,
which is its own story.
This isn't Speedball's first. We saw him at Super Juniors, and he was in the three way for the junior title at Destruction. This is gonna be something else. I'm excited for this. And then even the Never Know. We talked about it. Shingo and Trent Barretta. Sign me up, man. I am here for that.
I think you're right. I think this is going to shock people at how good it can be, because Trent is always just in these tag matches. I feel he's on Rampage. He's teaming with Orange Cassidy to take on, like, you know, a couple of jobbers for all intents and purposes, a couple of people low down on the totem pole on AEW. The guy doesn't get a lot of single spotlight. So I feel like he is going to be up for this.
Yeah.
That this is a match maybe he wants, because everyone knows that a Shingo match is a real big chance to prove yourself, to showcase yourself, to show how fucking good you can be. I expect Shingo to get the win, of course. HM raises the question, who does Shingo defend against at Wrestle Kingdom? But yeah, this should be fantastic. I think you hit a nail on the head with what you said about Trent earlier, Matt.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for this. And I'm excited for the IWGP Women's Champion. Tani against Stephanie.
I'm so excited for this. Bayley versus Zach and this, Mayu Iwatani versus Stephanie Vakor, the two matches I'm most excited for on this. Vakor is just, from that Mercedes match and the little bits I've seen from her after, absolutely incredible. And Mayu Iwatani, one of the best to ever do it, regardless of gender.
Yeah, this will be a fun stage for them to showcase their talents. Strong openweight Eddie and Kojima.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's an Eddie Kingston match, and then we'll see.
Is Eddie getting another chance to step into a ring with a legend, man? Dude's living his best life. You can't fall.
Yeah. It's just what the. I'm confused with what New Japan Strong is right now.
Isn't it?
Right, because I do think they show. I think in Japan they show weekly. They still show the weekly episodes. It's not.
Oh yeah, no. So there are weekly episodes. So the pay per views they do. So what was on it? Fighting Spirit Unleashed. That will be shown like two or three matches at a time.
Right.
Over the coming weeks. So if you don't want to buy the pay per view, if you can't afford the pay per view, you're going to get the matches. You're just going to get them bit by bit, and it's going to be spread out across multiple weeks. So there's still weekly content for Strong as such. But it's just a pay-per-view broken up.
I bet you we would be more invested in these shows if we watch the weekly shows, because we see these shows as standalones, but when they present them in a TV form, and they probably give a little more context to the stories they're trying to tell.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I'm not saying I'm going to watch the fucking show. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I was never too invested in Strong in the first instance. At least now you get a stacked card that you can jump into if you want. There's also, as we said, ELP and Hikaleo defending against West Coast Wrecking Crew. I'd love to see West Coast Wrecking Crew get the titles, man. They were strong boys since day one. They fucking beat in heart, a strong team, filthy. At the very least, let this be a fucking a catalyst to get them into World Tag League. Those boys deserve to be in that fucking tournament. It's long overdue. They should have been in there last year. Don't make the same mistake again this year, New Japan. Get them over to Japan for that fucking tournament.
Please, that would be awesome. I'd love to see him win too, but I think we're stuck in this rut with this Bullet Club versus War Dogs thing. Also, backstage at after Julia beat what's her fucking nuts, High End, Trish Adora, and I fucking love Trish Adora, and that's exciting. If we're gonna do Julia Trish Adora, I think that's a great spotlight for Trish Adora.
Yeah, and I mean, the biggest fucking plaudits to Trish Adora, because when New Japan changed the LA Dojo from the Young Lion system into being an academy, and you can pay your hard-earned money and you can go train there for a few weeks or a few months or whatever it is, Trish Adora was part of one of the first cohorts. She's a big independent name. She's one of the biggest independent American wrestlers, women wrestlers. And she paid her hard-earned money to go study at the New Japan Dojo in LA, to study underneath Fred Rosser and Kushida and stuff like that. So, you know, bravo to her for doing that, for not thinking she's above it or anything like that. And, you know, perhaps it's paying off, because she's getting to evidently face Julia. When and where, we don't know. I'm going to presume it's not part of Lone Star Shootout, because I feel like they would have announced that along with the rest of the matches so far. Perhaps it happens in Japan, a Stardom show. Perhaps it happens on a New Japan card. I don't know. But that's it. You're right, Matt. We feel bad for forgetting about that, because that's going to be an awesome match again.
We didn't forget about it. We're talking about it right now.
Question for you, a couple of questions for you before we wrap things up. Do you think Eddie Kingston defends the Strong title at the Tokyo Dome? Want him to? No, it's both.
I would like him to, yes. Because I don't think we've seen it defended at the Tokyo Dome.
We haven't, but Eddie Kingston draws eyes, especially against an opponent.
And
a good, a proper opponent.
Yeah, but then who do we pull?
Whoever the fuck you want on the roster, man. Eddie Kingston,
Ishii. It's Wrestle Kingdom, man.
Eddie Kingston, Ishii, the fucking foreign fans would lose their mind. I can't say who. I was speaking to a wrestler about like Suzuki and Ishii. And we were just going back and forth on Instagram, shooting the shit. And they were like, I was like, I have so much respect for Ishii and Suzuki because they've been doing the same thing for a fucking decade. And foreign fans, us Western fans, we still eat it up like it's the freshest, newest, fucking most cool thing. And this wrestler came back and he was like, I was backstage at a show high as a kite. And I called every moment from this Ishii match, every spot, called every single fucking spot perfectly. And I was just fucking tickled. And he was like, every Suzuki match, it's just forearm, chop, sleeper hold, and that's it.
I mean, it works, though. People,
it does. People, the fucking foreign fans love it.
I mean, I love it. They beat the shit out of each other.
I'm like, I'm so weird in it, because I'll watch one Ishii match, and I'll be like Ishii Eddie Kingston in the G1? Done nothing for me. I think Ishii and Shingo had a match in the G1. It done nothing for me. Ishii Shingo at Royal Quest 3, I fucking hell, man. I got baptized, man. It was like the best thing ever.
I think it's because you're what? Is it wrestling? Like,
I will say it wasn't because I was there. Because Ishii.
No, but is it like the G1, you kind of feel like you. If you're behind on the G1, it feels maybe like a chore. So it's just like back to back match. You're like, let me just get through this match and see who wins. Let me just get. And you don't.
Maybe.
You don't have the time to kind of soak it in.
Ishii is just 100% hit and miss for me. And I don't know why, because he does the same thing every fucking match, like I just said. You know exactly what you're going to get with an Ishii match. But I'll tell you who that person was off here. But yeah, that's Lone Star Shoot. So we've got Lone Star Power Struggle this weekend. Lone Star Shoot out the weekend after. Is it a weekend?
Yep. It's the weekend after. It's November 10th. November 10th. Yep.
Friday, November 10th. We've got the Super Junior Tag League wrapping up this week. And then we're on the road to World Tag League and Wrestle Kingdom. You know, and there's going to be stuff along the way. Okada showed up on Dynamite. Maybe there's going to be some more smoke to that fire. But yeah, the next big tour is Wrestle Kingdom, Royal Tag League, which goes straight into Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh yeah, we're there, buddy. It's the best time of the year.
It's weird. It's come around so quickly.
That's just how as we get older, it goes faster.
But yeah, that's it for Bread Club. We nailed it. An hour and a half, Super Junior Tag League. We got through it all.
Yeah, we didn't have a lot to talk about, but boy, did we cover it all.
Hashtag professionals.
I was using the hashtag Bread Club when I was live tweeting Fighting Spirit on. I was, because I was like, well, what the fuck? Dude, I was on fire with the NWA. They were loving it. NWA was eating that shit up. And I got a little love, but I don't know if people are familiar with Bread Club yet. You know,
everyone will become familiar with the Bread Club.
They have to. When you eat fucking bread, Kieran, it is on like Donkey Kong.
Death, taxes, and Bread Club, the three inevitables in life.
And Tanahashi's stupid fucking hair.
Oh, man, we almost got through an episode. We almost got through an entire episode without Matt hating on Tanahashi's hair.
Well, you know, it ain't an episode of the Bread Club until Tanahashi's hair.
You can tick that one off on the bingo check card for your episode of Bread Club.
That's it. Do your shots, you freaks. Shout out to Fightful, FightfulOverbook.com. Be sure to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe to Fightful Overbooked. Hit that little thumbs up button and leave a comment. Say whatever. You can say, great show. Doesn't have to be, you don't have to fucking write a novel, although we appreciate the people that leave the comments that go deep into the show and want to join the discussion, but every like and every comment helps the algorithm. It brings eyes to the product, and it helps Fightful Overbook, you know, recognize that the Bread Club is a thing that people want to hear more of. And, you know, maybe one day we'll do a live show. You know, we'll go on Fightful Overbooked, and me and Kieran can talk about Power Struggle or Wrestle Kingdom or Dominion or just eat bread for an hour. Who knows?
Not for a fucking hour. Jesus. Keel over.
Eat it slow. Slow and low, Kieran. Slow and low.
Life, that's a good life motto there.
Take a piece, take a bite, enjoy, say something, let it digest, take another piece, take a bite, slow and low. Remember, follow Kieran on his Twitter account at KieranRH93. Follow WrestleIN on the Twitter machine. Subscribe to their Patreon. Best bang for your buck with the content. And if you
should mention the Wizards have a Patreon too.
I'm getting to me, man.
We didn't mention it earlier.
I'm getting to me. Got to put you over first. You're Kieran RH at 93. You're the rock of the show.
Fucking hell.
Show doesn't work without Kieran. What? It doesn't.
You're the rock. You're the entertainment value.
I'm the entertainment. I'm not the rock.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't work.
Oh,
it was just me.
No. I thought you were talking about Dwayne Johnson.
No, I'm talking about like the rock. I wasn't talking about like, do you smell what Kieran's cooking?
Yes.
Roast tonight. No, like you're the rock of the show. It doesn't work without you. And then I am part of the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast, at Wizard Podcast on Twitter, every Monday night live on all forms of social media, and then wherever you listen to podcasts and YouTube, just put in Shining Wizards, we pop up. We also have a Patreon. We're putting out bonus content every month. I'm working on a giant project for 2024. If you like 1993 WWF, you want to sign up for $3 a month at our Patreon and get the massive shows that I'm working on. That's all I got for us, Kieran, tonight. This afternoon.
A nice episode of Bread Club. Everyone's caught up. And by the time it says, it'll be out of date. Just the way we like it.
No, Jeremy has been really great at putting it up the next day.
No, Jeremy's great. It's not Jeremy's fault. It's a New Japan calendar doing four shows back to back. Give these people a break.
The people
poor TJP,
a break.
TJP and his poor weakened neck. Think about Clark Connors and Driller Maloney's kidneys with all that alcohol.
That's on them.
That's New Japan.
That's on them. You gotta put in a good word with me with Gabe so I can hang out with him when he comes to New Jersey.
I'll put in a good word with you, Gabe. Absolutely.
Right. Oi, oi.
Oh yeah, yeah. The War Dogs are coming to New Jersey, and Matt is gonna be there.
I am. It'll be the weekend of Lone Star State.
God damn, that's a big weekend.
Yeah, so we're gonna come in hot on the 13th. Fucking lookout, people. Right, the 13th. That works. Yeah, the 13th I think is our next soiree here.
Is it just Alex and Gabe?
I believe so. Yes.
Cool.
Right. No.
Clark there too.
Clark maybe too.
You're getting the full War Dogs experience.
I gotta look it up now.
God damn! Before we go, we gotta know who Matt's gonna be seeing in New Jersey.
Pee my pants.
JCW.
JCW.
Right?
Yeah.
JCW. No, the War Dogs. War Dogs are coming, and Matt has got his tickets.
There we go. What do we got here? Lee Moriarty's going to be there.
Oh, yeah. I need to get them questions sorted for Lee Moriarty.
Mike Bailey.
God damn, man.
It will be Alex and Gabe. Chat. Alex and Gabe will be in the house.
American independents are so unfair.
They're so unfair.
Yeah, man. That's just a casual show for you, having four top-tier talents, man. You get one of them guys over here and I'm losing my mind.
Well, you know, no one told you to live across the fucking pond, bro.
Okay, sorry.
You're complaining to me like I booked the shows.
It's okay. I will take my British self off to my depressing dark sky because we changed the clocks and doing that's fucking dumb.
Yeah, right?
Hate that shit.
I don't like it either.
Nope. Come for the bread, stay for the politics on time changing.
What politics?
Time changing politics.
Oh yeah. To come for the bread and then sign our petition to stop daylight savings time.
Yeah, Bread Club will stop daylight savings.
Yeah, because we're that's not either. Farmers. We're
that's
bread eaters.
That's our goal.
Well, Kieran has a belly full of roast and I'm gonna eat some leftover pierogies. And we'll be back in a couple weeks with Lone Star, the end of the Super Junior Finals, power struggle. And then the road to Wrestle Kingdom. Say something funny, Kieran. Tell us a joke. You have a joke?
I've got a very rude joke.
All right. Ooh. If you say rudo, that'd be funny, right?
No, just rude.
I know, but rudo is a heel.
It's a heel. No, it's not a heel. Am I saying a rude joke?
Yeah, let's hear the rude joke.
Okay. Man comes home to his wife and he's holding a duck under his arm.
This episode is brought to you by Kraken. Crypto is like finance, but different. It doesn't care when you invest, trade, or save. Do it on weekends, or at 5 a.m., or on Christmas Day, at 5 a.m. Crypto is finance for everyone, everywhere, all the time. Visit kraken.com/see-what-crypto-can-be to learn more. Don't invest unless you're prepared to lose all the money you invest. This is a high-risk investment, and you should not expect to be protected if something goes wrong.